Pardon? I ordered it online on Monday and went there. And they had, oh, okay, we'll get your order. We'll bring it out to you. Sit still. There we go. It's wonderful. They call it the Lord's Chicken. I'd never heard it before. So you're having the Lord's Chicken today? I said, Chick-fil-A is called the Lord's Chicken. I said, I did not hear it before. I didn't hear it before. Because it's pro-Bible, etc. Mr. Cathy is. We are in 2 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 1. I was thinking about chicken. 2 Peter chapter 1. So let's start reading. I will start reading. If you'll start following along, let us start at 3. We're going to look at 5, 6, and 7 tonight. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Pause a moment for prayer. Heavenly Father, help me this evening. I would say nothing amiss. We thank you for the chance to learn from your word. May we be challenged by these seven virtues, if you would, or seven things that should be characteristic of our lives as Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So how does this add up? The spiritual life, how does it all add up for us? We find that we are to, as we allow God to work in us, he works through us and he gives us the strength to go on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it says there in our text in chapter 1, verse number 5. I can see now, verse number 5. Besides all this, giving all diligence. Giving there means make every effort to bring alongside. The thought is we develop one quality as we exercise another to bring deeply into, from close beside, or to bear alongside. So giving, applying, making all diligence. Diligence there is an eager earnestness, willingness, or zeal. It denotes quick movement or haste accompanying the eagerness. We are, as we go through our Christian walk, we are to be eagerly seeking and these things, besides faith, we're to be working toward these things, virtue, knowledge, temperance, etc. So it's not to be a passive thing where we're just sort of take it or leave it type of thing. No, we're supposed to be working. One of the guys I work with, one of the superintendents came in and I was talking about one of his workers. He said, he just like goes like a house of fire. He doesn't know what slow is. He said, he's a great worker. Matter of fact, I would say he's the best worker I've ever had. I thought, wow, that's a pretty high praise about your worker. That he's the best worker I've ever had since I've been a superintendent. And so we find then that's what we are to be about. We are to be working toward this. It means the idea of making haste, being eager, giving diligence, and putting forth effort are in this action. The word speaks of intense effort and determination. We are to give diligence to do this. Diligence is like a man was talking about when he was in the pre-dawn darkness in New York City. He's driving down toward his destination, and he went by a hotel. It was completely dark, and one of the footmen out there, or whatever you want to call them, the people that answer the door, bellman, was cleaning the window early in the morning. No one would ever see him likely ever doing this, but something he just did every single day, just did it. He was diligent to clean the window, though it was not really. People would go by and never understand. Well, that's clear because he cleans it every day. That's why it's so nice to use. And sometimes we take it for granted. But that's the diligence of it. We are to add to our faith there. It says, add to our faith. So we're giving all diligence. I like what it said. I forget his first name, McCullough, said, there is no point in praying for spiritual growth unless we do our best to live disciplined Christian lives. If we want to grow in the Lord, I've got to do my due diligence. If you want to, it's like there's a $39 Piano Made Easy Okay, I just tell you, honestly, to play a piano, it's pretty much going to take you some work to do to learn to do that. Or whatever instrument, or whatever you want to play, or sewing, or whatever it is, or cooking great meals. It takes practice. Or nothing comes easy. It just doesn't come easy at all. So faith. Genuine faith is a belief which results in behavior which is in accord with that which is believed. Genuine faith is a belief which results in behavior. Do I really believe? If we really believe that Christ may come tonight, let me ask, would you do anything different if he's coming back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock? I would probably do some things different. I would probably say, for me, I would say, listen, gentlemen, the Lord's coming back tonight at 6 o'clock. You may never even been to church once. But I tell you, he's coming. He's coming. And you need to get right with God before 6 o'clock. I would probably be a little more evangelistic if we really, really, really believe. And thing is, I really believe he's coming. But my life doesn't always match up with what I say I believe. Our faith should be like that, though. We should have faith. Add to your faith. We get our word choreography from this word. It means to equip the chorus with additional supplies, to supply lavishly, to add to your faith. So Peter urges people then to equip their lives with every virtue. As we add to our faith, these virtues is like dressing up a cake with the best looking frosting they've ever seen. And I like this. It's making Christianity irresistible. That's what I titled the lesson. Do you and I, with God's help, make Christianity irresistible? That's just something for me to think about that. There's a guy on our job site, he lives in New Orleans area somewhere, and he hasn't been home for weeks. He needs to go home. Because he just gets angry, and he's unhappy, and he accuses people, and he's like, he just needs to go home for a while. Maybe just go home off the site, period. He's not making living in New Orleans irresistible. Or I don't even want to move to Louisiana now after meeting that guy. So it's like, okay. Are you, though, you and I, making Christianity? Is it something people say your life is different? And what is it that you have? I'm compelled to ask, when's the last time anybody asked me or asked you, why are you different? Now, I'm not saying you're living erroneously or living wrongly. I'm saying our goal should be, I really like that, making Christianity, page 2, making Christianity irresistible. Isn't that how they do on the, I'm not trying to say we should be advertising in a way, I guess we are in a way, but the advertising, they want to make that Dove little square, that little chocolate square, I've never seen advertising, but they want to make that little, and they don't have to do it on me, I'll just go for it anyway, make that irresistible. Have you had the Dove dark chocolate squares? Just put it in your mouth. It just lasts a long time. It's just the right bite size, 40 calories per bite size. And that packaging has a little saying on the inside of the package, and they come in nicely wrapped and things like that. And you can have 2 or 3 and not feel too guilty about it. They don't have to sell me. They're making it irresistible. That car you're wanting, or that new house, or that new fishing rod, or that new bass boat, or new sewing machine, or new truck, or a new job, whatever. They want to make that irresistible to us. We are to be that in the area of spiritual. We are to make Christianity, because not that we're advertising per se and woohoo, look at what we're doing. No, it's we should be working toward that end. So we're going to add, first of all, page 2. If you're still following along there, we are to add virtue to that. We are to add virtue, if you would, there to our lives. Excellence, a fulfilling of a purpose. True virtue is not polishing human qualities, but producing divine qualities that make the person more like Christ. It is not about you taking what we have. It's God working through us and making us what we should be. And when we get a chance to respond, we don't respond inappropriately, and we have to practice self-control. So we're going to start with this first thing we're going to add to us is virtue. The example would be like this. The land that produces crops is called excellent because it's fulfilling its purpose. A tool that works correctly is excellent because it's doing what a tool is supposed to do. We're to add to our knowledge of virtue. In King David's life, I think about 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We see there that David added that. And just a couple of verses from there, we know the story of David and Goliath. David says in 29, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Goliath taunting us, can we not stand for God?" And same chapter, verse 40. It says there, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, and went even in a script, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And then also verse 45, and then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He was adding, fulfilling his purpose. God wanted him. It's not simply to know the purpose and, well, that's a good thing, I should be doing that. I think David says, the other guys probably knew what should have been done. Somebody needs to go out there and in the strength of the Lord, trust the Lord will help me whip up on Goliath. That's probably fighting Andre the Giant would be the scariest thing for any of us, most likely. But with God, it was possible, right? So David added to his faith virtue, fulfilling the purpose. True virtue, again, is not polishing human qualities, but producing divine qualities. And as the Lord works in us, we're not simply on the sideline. We're adding to our faith virtue. And secondly, we add not only virtue, but we are to add knowledge. This kind of knowing, the ability to handle life successfully, this ability comes from obedience to God. Knowledge there is gnosis. Knowledge signifies a general intelligence, understanding the general knowledge of the Christian religion, the deeper, more perfect, and enlarged knowledge of this religion, such as belongs to the more advanced. It's one thing to be courageous, but we need to be courageous about the right things. That's how our virtue is to be affected by knowledge. So, and Josiah, in 2 Kings now 23, Josiah learns something and he responds. 2 Kings 23, first three verses. 2 Kings 23, the first three verses. First three verses of 2 Kings 23. And the king sent this Josiah, and he gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Verse 3, 23, 2 Kings. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes, and with all their heart and all their soul to perform the works of the covenant that were written in the book, and all the people stood to the covenant. And we find then in verse 6 and 7, verse 7, and he break down the houses of the Sodomites, etc. He responded. So he added virtue and then knowledge. Now I know what is right to do, and he does that. So you and I, we know what is right to do based upon God's word, and we are to do, page 3, we are to do what is right in the eyes of God. We are to do that. We are to be knowledgeable. And there's a lot of knowledge going around, but there's not a whole lot of wisdom going around. And so we find that we are to be adding to virtue and knowledge. And thirdly is temperance, self-control, handling the pressures of life, not giving in. Handling the pressures of life, not giving in. We might say it also is this, it is a moral excellence. I'm sorry, temperance is it is the idea of holding oneself or the ability to take a grip of oneself. Self-control means mastering one's emotions rather than being controlled by them. Lack of self-control played a significant role in shameful, dishonorable acts and the false teachers that he exposes. So we are to be composed, if you would, not flying off the handle, not getting excited, not saying things we should not. So we should be temperate in all things and Proverbs 16:32. I'll read this verse for you. Proverbs 16:32 would be an example of what is this term means. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. That's it. Slow to anger. Anger destroys so many people. And you see people get angered. And I just even recently in the job I'm on, one person has just really allowed his anger to cause so many difficulties. So we are to add, according to our scripture, and beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, self-control, and to temperance patience. That is, in verse 6, the ability to endure when circumstances are difficult. Positive, hopeful attitude in the most bitter of trials and sorrows. It is not giving up. It is enduring. That's what this is. We are to be enduring. And you and I, in our era, we are probably going to endure and be enduring a lot more difficult things than we are now. I think this could well be the tip of the iceberg for we Christians in America. I hope not, but we need to really be making sure of our calling and election sure and get ready, if you would, as the scripture would say. But we are to be ready for what God has called us to do. There are countries, the Chinese church, the underground church. I mean, other countries have it now. Why is it we have been spared? Because we have in the past, I think we sent missionaries, we've stuck close, somewhat close to the scripture, but now we have jettisoned all that. And there's so many who don't even know the God of the scripture at all. So I need to nurture my self-control with endurance and hang in there, keeping my eyes on Christ. Sometimes I can get a little difficult time and tell myself that I deserve a break. I deserve to indulge myself. Not so. We are to endure. Well, I just don't want to read scripture for this week. No, we're to be reading the scripture, period, and allow it to work in our hearts and lives. It means to remain under some discipline of subjecting oneself to something which demands the submission of one's will to something against which one naturally would rebel. That is patience. That is learning. That is doing what is right. That is being under control. Self-control, then, would be handling pressures. Patience is the problem, pressures of life. Handling pressures. Patience, handling the problems of the pressures of life correctly. That would be under self-control. It was the story is told of Howard Carter, the British archaeologist who peered wide-eyed into the ancient Egyptian tomb in 1922. First thing he saw was nothing. For more than 20 centuries, archaeologists, tourists, and tomb robbers had searched for the burial places of Egypt's pharaohs. It is believed that nothing remained undisturbed, especially in the royal valley where the ancient monarchs had been buried for over half a millennium. With only a few scraps of evidence, Howard Carter carried on his pursuit, privately financed because nobody felt there was anything left to be discovered. But he was convinced there was one more remaining tomb. Twice during his six-year search, he came within 2 yards of the first stone step leading to the burial chamber, and finally he found it. "Can you see anything?" his assistants asked as Carter's eyes adjusted. He was seeing, but he had difficulty speaking because he saw what no modern man had ever seen: wooden animals, statues, chests, chariots, carved cobras, vases, daggers, jewels, a throne, and a hand-carved coffin of a teenage king. It was the priceless tomb of King Tut. But he persevered and all kept looking and kept going and did not give up. And that is you and I. We sometimes, it's always too soon to give up. Was it Jones III said, "Do right till the stars fall"? We are to do that. So we're adding patience, we're adding temperance, and now we're adding godliness, reverence, or piety. He does that which is right because it is right. Last page, godliness. It is the inner response in human beings. Really, only believers can exhibit true godliness to the things of God, which works itself out in godly reverence. Godliness simply means we're going to be like God. We're going to, in that regard, that we're living for Him and doing what He would have us to do and not what we would do on our own. It is piety towards God. It literally means worship well. It means to worship God correctly. But a person who has godliness not only acts correctly towards God, but also treats people correctly as well. Because you have a relationship with God, because you know how much He is worth, you do the things that are right, the things that God wants you to do. That is godliness. It is Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. After he receives Christ, calls Him Lord. You know what I'm going to do now? I'm giving away half my goods to feed the poor. Free to the poor, etc. Half my goods away to people. And if I mistook things, I'm going to restore them fourfold. We need to nourish our endurance, our patience, our perseverance with godliness. I can get to thinking that endurance is just sitting in a corner gritting my teeth. But I need to have a deeper endurance that turns around and serves the Lord and serves others. We are to be enduring. And this is the time of, as we live in this COVID era, that we are to be enduring. So we're add that. Godliness, living as God would have us to live. And in verse 7, brotherly kindness, a sincere love, concern with the needs of others. Are we concerned? I believe that you are. People even brought in the tomatoes and other fruits, vegetables, etc. in the back there, concerned about helping out others. Brotherly kindness. And then finally, charity. That's the agape love. That is a self-sacrificing love. The love God showed to sinners, it is loving in spite of differences. That is impossible for us to just simply manufacture the seven. Well, I think I'm going to start just doing this on our own. You just can't manufacture it. It is a step-by-step. We're adding these things to us. It's a Well, I'm just going to work. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. Well, I'm going to work love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. I'm going to work on gentleness for the next 10 years. Well, that's okay and fine and dandy if you're also working on love, joy, peace, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If you're working on all the other 4 days, but one fruit of the Spirit, 9 peas in the same pod. The pod is the fruit of the Spirit, and there's 9 peas in it, and you're working on all those peas. I remember we used to shell peas. My mom and dad would raise so many peas, and we have a pea shelling party on the porch. And so we'd try to skirt them at one another. We'd see how many, of course, they weren't around necessarily when we tried to do that, but we were doing things like that. We would shell. Have you shelled peas before? Everybody shelled peas? It's a process, isn't it? It's a process. And so you work on that. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. We are working on, but add to our faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, we are to add charity. So we're adding all those things built upon one another, but we can only add those as we center ourselves upon God. And if we don't do those things, it says in verse 8, if we don't do those things, or verse 9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. For if you, verse 8, these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I can get my eyes fixed upon eternity, We should be thinking more about eternity, I believe, with the COVID-19, because the earthly things are going to pass. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Most people today, take Jesus and give me the world. I'd much rather have the world than Jesus. What a short-sighted view, is it not? I trust you and I. It's why you're here on Wednesday night. We have the view that he is not a means to the end. He is the end. And that's what we're looking forward to. So come COVID-19, come COVID-21, because we can't, might as well skip 20. COVID-21, 25, 27, whatever it is, the Lord's still in control. And he is the one we're waiting to see. So may we add these things to our lives and add to our faith, virtue, etc. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd work in my life and the lives of each one here, that our lives would be irresistibly Christian. That people would say, what is it about your life? Or we see something in your life that truly demonstrates Christ and give us opportunities to share what you have done for us. Lord, it's just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's all it is. It's you have saved us by your marvelous grace. So Lord, help us to go out tonight. Thank you for the book of 2 Peter. May we learn together in it. Those who, especially I think of Gail and Bruce, that you put your healing touch upon them, and be with Stephanie's nephew there in the hospital in Florida, or in Texas, that you'd watch over him. And Lord, be as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.